1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On today's edition of the program, the Bears lost to the Jets. We'll break it all down in just a second. Plus, random interview today with Jake Crane, the host of Crane & Company on the Daily Wire and a former college football coach. Talk with him extensively about Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Mike White, college football, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports, Facebook, John Zagluhl. Want to watch more of this show? Head on over to SportsTalkChicago.com. Want to start today with this. You're not surprised, are you? What did you expect? Come on. Justin Fields didn't play. The Bears are talentless as a roster. How did you think this was going to go? I laughed because it was so pathetic. And yet, we all expected mediocrity. We all expected this to be a waste of a game. Trevor Siemian didn't do bad. This is not a knock on him. Not even a knock on the Bears in general. But this team right now is a dumpster fire. There are probably 3 or 4 salvageable players on this roster. Literally 3 or 4. I don't see any more. Maybe Sanborn. Maybe Montgomery, if the Bears decide to bring him back. He did okay. There were very little, even bright spots in this game for the Bears. They were winning 10-7 in their defense, but that proved to be short-lived. And you know you have a problem defensively when Mike White, who is capable but still a backup, has the game of his life. You know, Zach Wilson faced this Bears defense. I'm sure he would turn it around even. Any quarterback would turn it around against this Bears defense. Every quarterback, it seems, is turning it around against this Bears defense. Just so bad. And again, I know the Bears traded away Roquan Smith, Robert Quinn. I'm okay with that. I was fine with those trades. And we're seeing other players develop and play, like Sanborn, who's been a revelation for this Bears team and I think should be starting at linebacker next year for them. But I think the scary or the discouraging part so far is there are veteran players on this Bears defense who simply cannot play. Eddie Jackson missed a couple of tackles yesterday. Jalen Johnson got beat again. Kendall Bildor needs to be cut. There are so many issues in the secondary. The Bears had no pass rush against Mike White. Well, it's okay to see them fail because then you know who you're going to keep and who you're not going to keep. There are veterans who are slacking still. And it's concerning. Offensively, Trevor Siemian did exactly what he was expected and supposed to do. He did keep the Bears in the game for the most part early, but the Bears offense hit a slide. Evan Montgomery did well in the limited time that he got. Evans, who was running more often than Ebner, did okay as well. Not much doing offensively either, but I did want to say this. And this was a talking point early in the game when Trevor Siemian was doing well. And we saw it in the stream, saw this on Twitter. I want to address this. There is no quarterback controversy. And you know me. I mean, I'm a straight shooter, and I have railed against Justin Fields, deservedly so, for his poor play early on. But there is no quarterback controversy. There were people making arguments, hey, if the Bears passed more, Trevor Siemian's a pocket passer. He's looking great. And this is not a knock on Siemian. It's a knock on this argument. Simeon is one of the best backups in football, but key word, backup. There is no quarterback controversy. There is no we should start Trevor Siemian. There is no Justin Fields needs to change his game. Of course, he needs to develop as a passer. I think everybody could agree on that, but he's not a bad quarterback. And for those of you who long for some pocket passer like Trevor Siemian, how'd that work out with this Bears offensive line and these Bears weapons, these lackluster Bears weapons? Not too good. You know, I found more of an appreciation for Justin Fields yesterday than I think I ever have. That pathetic performance showed me just how good Justin Fields really is for this team. Seriously. Look at what happens when he's there versus when he's not there. Trevor Siemian may have passed for more yards, but he was pressured. He was sacked so many times. He was dropped and hit. The Bears' offense could not function. They scored 10 points. When Fields is there, he's able to scramble, able to avoid pressure, able to make this offensive line look better. I saw somebody comment saying PFF had the Bears' O-line at 14th in the NFL. Well, remember this. Fields is not getting sacked as much as he should be because he's running away from defenders. And Fields still has tons of sacks on him and tons of dropdowns. I have more of an appreciation for Justin Fields today than I did yesterday before the game. I do. He actually makes his O-line look better than what they are. It makes this team look better. Look at how much he elevates this team's offensive output. Look at what he does to make a difference for the Bears. Look at how different they are offensively. How many points they score more when he plays. I would argue right now he's the MVP of this team. He is the most valuable player. Without him playing, this team is unwatchable. This reminds me of like 2014 Bears football with a combination of Matt Barkley starting and them going 3-13 and John Fox being the head coach. It was horrible. It was atrocious. Oh, by the way, you got blown out by a backup QB in the Jets. This is not a great team you're facing, and you still lost by 21. I appreciate the effort and the drive that Justin Fields has and the difference that he makes on this team. I appreciate it more today than I did last week or even in weeks prior. I'm not saying he's perfect. There are things that he needs to work on. Everybody has something to work on, always. Even the great quarterbacks have something to work on. Aaron Rodgers certainly does. Russell Wilson does. There are great quarterbacks who need to work on stuff. Justin Fields does too. But there is no quarterback controversy in Chicago. There is no need to test the waters and see what we could get from Trevor Siemian. There's no need even to say that Justin Fields isn't a good enough passer, because I'll tell you what. Fields would have done better yesterday than Trevor Siemian did. And Trevor Siemian did okay. But Fields puts up the same, if not better, numbers every week, plus rushing. Fields overall, offensively, is the lifeblood of this team. He single-handedly runs this offense. Rushing, passing. So I find myself having more gratitude for Justin Fields after this loss. And I think that's one of the main keys, the main takeaways from this game. Sure, there were positive performances. I think Sanborn is going to be a starting linebacker for this team next year. He's earned it. He deserves it. I think it was a great job by the Bears to get rid of Roquan Smith. You bring in an undrafted guy who is not going to be making $20 million per year, and you hit gold. That's a huge move for Ryan Poles. David Montgomery did well, but is he going to be the answer at running back moving forward? Going to have to wait and see. Will the Bears pay him? I don't think so, and they shouldn't. The secondary with veteran players somehow can't defend the Jets, which is scary. But the one constant in all of this and all those problems that we saw up in the game yesterday, Justin Fields is important. Justin Fields is necessary. Justin Fields needs to be appreciated more. He needs more appreciation than what he gets today from this Bears team. I mean, look at how bad they look. Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus looked like idiots yesterday with this roster. They did. If this was the Bears team and they didn't have Justin Fields, they'd be fired. Or they'd be closer. There'd be rumors of them getting fired already. If this was the product they plan on putting out there, and they did put this product out there without Justin Fields, Justin Fields is masking the problems of this team and this organization right now. He is your most valuable asset. You do everything you can to take care of him and please him. Obviously, develop him more. He's not perfect. He's not there yet. But he's pretty damn important. He's the reason the Bears are putting up points every week. The reason why they have more rushing yards and a more dynamic offense that's only going to change and get better over the years to come. He's the reason why they're in games, usually. After this game, you have to at least admit the fact that there has to be more of an appreciation for Justin Fields compared to what you had and your thoughts before. Look at how bad they were. Look at how incompetent they were offensively, defensively, as a team as a whole. It's scary. This was Ryan Poles' creation. Think about that. Another rebuilding, obviously. This is not the final product, but this was his plan. This is who he had to bring out to roll out for the Bears in 2022. Scary. Veterans not stepping up. Secondary-wise, scary. There are deeply rooted issues with this team that need to be solved. They need a big-time wide receiver. They need offensive line help. They need defensive line help. They need secondary help. They need help everywhere, it seems like. And yet, Justin Fields, every week, masks all those problems. I have more of an appreciation. I have more gratitude. And I understand more so some of the hype surrounding Justin Fields. I get it. I also get why the media loves to worry about Justin and not about the other problems that the Bears have. He masks everything. I mean, look at how bad they were yesterday. We should be talking more about concern. How could the Bears secondary get better? Why do they have all these needs? But instead, we're so worried about and infatuated with Justin Fields. He does a great job PR-wise even for the Bears, for Ryan Poles, for Matt Eberflus. And Ryan Pace was the one who drafted him. Just saying. So I'm walking away from this pathetic, sorry-ass excuse for a game with some gratitude. I'm a little bit mad, but what did we expect? I didn't expect 31 points to be given up, but what are you going to do? I mean, the Bears were going to lose anyway. They got the Packers this week. Jordan Love somehow, some way is good now. And maybe Justin Fields returns, and that'd be a huge matchup. And one that I think the Bears have to be competitive in at least. I'd love for them to win, but again, I really feel like they're tanking. I'm not picking the Bears to win for the rest of this year. I'm not going to do it. I think they're trying to tank. I think they want the 2 or 3 overall pick. I think they're going to keep tanking. So I won't be picking them for success, but the Bears should play the Packers well this weekend. No excuse why not. But if Justin Fields doesn't play somehow, expect another loss big time even. There are severe deficiencies with this team. Ones we don't talk about that we should be talking about. And all I have to say is this message to Ryan Poles. Get your act together this offseason. Because if you roll out a similar sorry-ass roster, next year won't be as grand as you think it's going to be. And this is not an indictment or a scolding of Ryan Poles, but I'm just going to say, look at how bad this team was yesterday. Look at how sorry and pathetic some of these players are. I know they're rebuilding, but we better see some changes for next year's roster, is the point. This is not going to win them games in 2023 or in the future with Justin Fields. It's going to be the Justin Fields show, bad team, they suck, Fields is going to want to trade. You can see it right now. So my hope is that the Bears put in more money and invest more and helping out Justin Fields moving forward, because obviously, he's the only reason why they score points. He's the only reason why they're in some of these games. It was a sorry, pathetic loss, and something that Bears fans and the Bears themselves have to move on from. But my biggest takeaway is the following. Justin Fields should be appreciated more, because without him, his Bears team is practically unwatchable. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Jake Crane comes up next, so stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. I'm John Zaglone, and we are back and ready for today's special guest, the host of Crane & Company on the Daily Wire, and a former college football coach. Please welcome Jake Crane to the program. Jake, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Man, it's so great to be here, brother. I know we haven't talked in a while. I know Bears fans probably aren't in the best of mood right now, but you know, our job's to give them the facts. And I guess when you have opinions that you think are true, they become facts in your mind. So we'll see, I guess.
What did you make of that Bears Jets game on Sunday?
Well, look, you know, it was obviously going to be tough without Justin Fields, who, you know, really has been the source of the offense. I think he's putting it even too lightly with what he's been able to do as he continues to grow. I know we'll get into that, but you know, you had to deal with Simeon, you know, before the game. If you saw the body language on the guys, and obviously there's no Robert Quinn there, there's no Roquan Smith there. It seems to me like they see the writing on the wall, and as much as, you know, they are professionals, and I don't think they quit. I don't think it was a lack of effort. The personnel just isn't where it needs to be. And then Mooney goes down during the game, which that's it. That's lights out. Outside of Cole Kmet, there's really nobody else out there, in my opinion. You know, David Montgomery, obviously, if the running back, can make some plays, but he needs help as well.
What do you make of this Bears team in general? I mean, you watched that game yesterday. No Justin Fields. Is this a team that needs lots of improvement for next year?
I mean, without a doubt. Now, you know, I think there's two types of teams that need improvement. There's the type of team that has no shot and has to just reload everything and start from scratch. And then you have a team like the Bears. You have pieces in place to make plays. You just don't have enough. You know, you can't play chess without all the pieces there. And that's what the NFL is chess. Defensively, you take away, you know, arguably the two best playmakers, and you could put them both, you know, pretty high in the NFL if you just look at their stats and look at their production, especially Roquan, Rome in the middle. You've got to give Justin Fields some more help outside. You know, I like Kmet. I like Mooney. You need a dog. You actually need a couple of them because they can double one of them. But I think Darnell Mooney can continue to get better as well. Like, he's a good wide receiver too, in my opinion. He can't be the guy that you're trying to build a Super Bowl winner off of. And Justin Fields, you know, up to this point, the rushing numbers are fantastic. But just like Chicago fans know, I know, Justin Fields isn't going to be able to run like that forever. Nobody in the NFL can take that beating. His growth as a passer, especially outside the pocket, is something where I think if I'm a Chicago Bears fan, I have hope for the future. Justin Fields does not look like a bust. You look at the potential. You look at if you actually put guys around him, the play he makes when everybody knows he's the only playmaker. So I guess that's my long-winded answer of saying I think there's a chance to have a big year next year. They've just got to give the man the pieces around him and find a way to not resurrect the defense as good as it was. That's going to be almost impossible, but get it to a level where Justin and them can outscore teams without having to play the best game of their life every weekend.
I know you mentioned he needs improvement in the passing game. As of today, though, is he the franchise guy for the Bears? Are you confident in him being the guy for them in the future?
Yes. I mean, again, you've seen growth. I mean, yes, he needs improvement in the passing game, and you know, we mentioned that, but you're seeing growth, in my opinion. And growth isn't just touchdown passes. Growth isn't just making three guys miss and making the incredible throw on the scramble drill. Growth is knowing when to throw it away. Growth is realizing when it's man and the DB's backs are turned. And if you take off, you can get a first down and slide without getting hit. Growth is throwing the check down. Growth is understanding when to check to the run and when not to get greedy and check out of it, even though the look works. I think that's what you've seen from Justin Fields. And communication-wise, the Bears get penalized too much, but you don't see an overwhelming amount of delay of games. You don't see an overwhelming amount of Justin Fields not knowing when the snap's coming to him. You're seeing him grow, and that's why I hate the term game manager. Every quarterback should be a game manager. If you're not a game manager, you can't play quarterback. It's like being saying like, oh, well, that pitcher's just a game manager. Well, yes. Yes, he is. That's the position. So when you're looking at growth, you've got to look at the total factors and imagine the guys, that if they put guys around them, that have a chance to go out there and dominate.
What do you think Fields' ceiling is if the Bears give him a bona fide number one and maybe a good defense and the roster improves for next year?
I think he can be a top five quarterback in the NFL. He's got the ability. Look, that doesn't mean you have to be Peyton Manning in the pass game. Peyton Manning there's stuff that Justin Fields will never be able to do that Peyton Manning could. There's stuff that Peyton Manning will never be able to do or never was able to do that Justin Fields can. As long as the Bears will play to his strengths, just play to his strengths, give him the pieces around him, his ceiling from an athleticism standpoint, if he keeps on this growth cycle, I mean, you could put, as crazy as it sounds, and I'm not coming on here just to gas the Bears up, because I don't talk about the Bears or come on, you know, radio talk about the Bears a ton. I think they could win the Super Bowl. Like, I really think he's that good. Like, Justin Fields is good.
Where do you compare him in regards to the other quarterbacks selected in that draft? So, you know, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, all these other guys who were drafted with Fields. Is he the best of his class, do you think?
I mean, right now you have to say yes. I mean, I know Trey Lance got hurt. That's unfortunate. But I don't believe in Trey Lance as a passer right now. I don't think he's proven that. I don't think he's where Justin Fields is as a passer right now. Zach Wilson, you know, I'm just waiting to see when Mike White's going to be walking around with Zach Wilson's mom at this point. You know, we thought Zach Wilson was the cougar hunter riding with the beer. Turns out Mike White was Jon Snow all along. He was King Arthur, man. He pulled the sword out of the stone. I think he's been the best player out of that class with, you know, I guess you make an argument for the Jets, but with less weapons than Zach Wilson. I mean, hell, Trey, like, give him Deebo Samuel. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's just the truth.
What did you make of that Zach Wilson situation? Obviously, Mike White had such a great game yesterday. What did you think when the Jets chose to bench him?
Look, I mean, see, every player's got to be held accountable. You know, you can't fall in the trap of, oh, well, if the defensive tackle doesn't play good over a long stretch of games, we're going to pull him out. But if the quarterback doesn't play good, just because we drafted him this high, we're going to leave him in there. You lose the team. I think you saw that team play like that because it showed the whole locker room, look, we treat everybody the same. Like, if you're not producing, we're going to give somebody else a shot. That's why I think they played like that, to be honest. You saw one team that was inspired. The Jets played – Garrett Wilson played the most inspired football I've seen him play in the first half. I think you saw one team that was inspired. I think you saw one team that was retired. I think that was the biggest difference.
What's this mean for Zach Wilson? I mean, he was a pretty highly touted prospect out of college. I know, you know, you had watched him play. I know you follow a lot of college football more than the NFL. So what do you think?
Well, again, could that have been an anomaly? Could Mike Wright just have played the game of his life? Yeah, we don't have enough sample size with Mike Wright to really go out here and say, well, Zach Wilson's career's over with the Jets. I think what it means is you can take this one of two ways. If you're Zach Wilson, you can feel disrespected. You can be upset. You can be, you know, quietly pissed off that your team played well without you out there. Turns out, you know, maybe you were the problem. You know, it's like if you're the one at the dinner table that doesn't get the joke, it's probably about you, you know, that situation. Or you can use it as a stepping stone. You can use it as something that you'll grow from, something that maybe you'll change up some of the ways you're going about things. Or maybe it's not a loss if it's a lesson. And I think Zach Wilson can go one of two ways. We'll see which way he goes. I don't know the man personally, so I'm not going to guess.
How'd you react to those comments that he made when he was asked if it was his fault or if the offense held back the defense? Just your raw reaction to that.
Yeah, I you know, even if you felt that way, which you shouldn't, why even say that? To me, it was stupid. I mean, it was just a stupid thing to say. I think he would probably tell you right now it's a stupid thing to say. Now, I'm not going to go as far as Booger McFarland and say because of his upbringing, you can't expect him to be accountable. That's BS. I've known rich people. I've known rich kids that were the hardest workers and poor kids that wouldn't work hard. I've known poor kids that were the hardest workers and rich kids who don't work hard. That's not how that happens. I thought that was way out of bounds. But, you know, I thought those comments, they weren't necessary. They were somewhat naive to me. It was an unbelievably naive thing to say. And, you know, I know we're in Chicago and Illinois is not that far from Ohio. Just go look at what CJ Stroud from Ohio State said after they lost to Michigan. That's, you're the quarterback. You always get too much credit and you always get too much blame, but you're the leader, regardless if you want to be or not, regardless if it's cool or not, regardless if they're going to make fun of you on TikTok or not, you stand up there like a man, like Josh Allen did when he fumbled that snap and lost that game. He stood up there like a man. You stand up there and you take it like a man because that's what you expect. Or that's what your teammates expect of you.
How shocking was that Ohio State-Michigan game? You mentioned it.
Oh, well, you know, our co-host, David Cohn, played quarterback at Michigan. So I was just more excited for him than anything, especially what they've been through. I mean, they've been just beaten like a redheaded stepchild, and this makes it two in a row. Shocked. Not that Michigan won, but how they won. Ohio State came out and played just – The most arrogant thing you can possibly do. Jim Knowles is a smart defensive coordinator, but he did the most arrogant thing you could possibly do. He came out and just ran zero for the whole first half. When you run zero, there is no help. Yeah, you can stop the run. Great. But you are giving Michigan a chance for, with one slip, and we saw that with the big play touchdown on the tight end. One guy takes one bad step, and J.J. McCarthy, whose deep ball's gotten a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better over the season. And then finally, you snap out of it in the second half and say, we got to start playing a little more zone or at least play man-free and have some one guy there in the back end. And it starts opening up that run game a little bit because the offensive line's fresh because they've been dotting you up the whole game. So I was shocked by the way it went down. But good for Michigan, man. Jim Harbaugh, anybody that can have success and still wear cleats inside and get away with it, I have tons of respect for it.
What's this mean for Michigan's championship hope? They're number two right now as we speak in the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, anything can happen in college football. I don't see Purdue beating Michigan. I think Michigan's just going to smush them, to be honest with you. It's such a huge advantage up front on both sides of the ball for Michigan. I think Georgia's going to beat LSU, so I think Michigan's going to be the two seed. The question is, who's going to be three and four? That's the question. TCU wins out, which is one game versus Kansas State, which that's not going to be a walk in the park by any stretch of the imagination. And then USC plays a Utah team that they lost to earlier, and the quarterback for Utah, Cam Rising. Their three losses, he's blown it at the end all three times, starting with the Florida game. I hate to put it that way, but it's the truth. He's going to not blow it at some point if they're close. He's going to make the play. I just wonder, Caleb Williams, which of the highest order, Hogwarts graduate, of course, who, in my opinion, is the leader for the Heisman, and Max Duggan's maybe a gap, then second place there, the quarterback for TCU. But, man, if those two win, it's a wrap. If one of them lose, I think you're going to see Ohio State get in. I think that's who they're going to put in.
You know, I've heard theories that Alabama could somehow sneak in. Do you find that founded?
Listen, I'm from Auburn, man. If there's a way they can sneak in, they'll sneak in. Like, something will happen. I can almost guarantee it. I can almost guarantee something will happen. TCU will lose. USC will lose. Georgia will lose to LSU. Michigan will lose to Purdue. I mean, and Bama will somehow get the four seed and then beat everybody to death.
Right.
Then beat everybody to death.
Who do you think is going to win the national championship at this point? I know there's still some games left to go, but who are you putting your marbles on right now?
And I got to go Georgia, dog.
Okay.
I've got to go Georgia. Michigan, I think that the gap between – because remember, they played each other last year in the first game of the playoff. And Georgia just dominated them. I think they scored on their first four possessions. I think the gap is closer. I think J.J. McCarthy kind of evens the score a little bit. You don't have N'Kobe Dean anymore for Georgia. You don't have Jordan Davis, who's obviously with the Eagles. I do think Georgia wins because Stetson Bennett, man, after, you know, he got that fade at the beginning of the year, changed his name to Stequavius. So Stequavius Bennett and Georgia, I know they're not playing great ball right now, but they turned it on last year. They have experience in winning championships. They're getting A.D. Mitchell back. I've got to go with the Dogs. I got to go chalk on this one.
More to come with Jake Crank in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Jake Crane still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Jake, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, Crane & Company, The Daily Wire. How's it been going?
Man, it's been going great. We actually got moved to drive time and got an extra 30 minutes. So we go an hour and a half now. So we go 7:30 to 9 Eastern in the morning. You can find it on YouTube as well. It's been awesome. This college football season, NFL season has been great. College, I think, has been a little bit better than the NFL. The offenses have been kind of sloppy in the NFL, but man, we're loving it over there. It's a great place to work. And, you know, I really, we just hit 1 million subscribers at Daily Wire Plus. So go over there and check it out. Sign up. Jordan Peterson's over there. There's some great new content coming out as well. So yeah, just come give us a look. I think you'll like what you see.
What's been the best part about hosting? Because you've been there for a little bit now. The show kind of has a new iteration with the Daily Wire.
Yeah, so, you know, it's the J-Boy show. So I've only been in this thing for really like a little bit over 2 years. You know, I coached for 9 years, 6 at the Division I level. And during COVID, just started messing around, started with a podcast just to waste time until I got back. And it really kind of blew up out of nowhere. And we were with Colin Cowherd in the middle of renegotiating a contract. And then the Daily Wire reached out to us, and we changed the name from the J-Boy Show to Crane & Company, which, you know, is my last name. And man, it's been wild. It's been, we really like, the cool part is nobody tells us what to say. Like, we don't fake arguments. It's me, former Michigan quarterback David Cone, my brother who played with Austin Eckler at Western State Colorado is there. And man, I think it's different than anything else, because it's like kind of talking to your buddies, but we actually did it for a living. It's kind of got its own niche, if that makes sense.
And Jake, before we finish up today, last question, what's the funniest moment you've had on the program?
Oh, man. So there's been a lot. Probably I would say, because I'm the older brother, me and Blaine had a bet in fantasy. So we're doing this, like, Ben Shapiro and all of us are in this fantasy football league, and I beat him. So he hates chocolate cake, which I know, what a weirdo, right? Get him out of here. So my thing was, if you lose, if I beat you, I get to hit you in the face live with a chocolate cake with whipped cream and stuff all over it. And so, man, I went over to him, he was ready for it. It was during the show. He was sitting in his chair. And let's just say it was one of the most glorious moments of my life as an older brother, and I will tell stories about it until I die.
How did he react to it? Was he, like, totally grossed out?
He took it like a champ. Okay. I gave him a little bit of a – it was like a splat and then a smush. Like, I really corkscrewed it in there. He got to explore all the flavors. But it was when I, you know, took it out, and it was kind of like – you know, your hand or foot's ever stuck in mud and you pull it out real quick and it makes that noise. That was what it was like. But he sat there and, took it like a champ. He even finished the segment. He couldn't open his eyes. It was a great moment. So, like I said, it's one that they'll find written in a tablet somewhere thousands of years from now.
Well, Jack, thank you so much for joining me. Great insights and best wishes with Crane & Company moving forward. Looking forward to catching up again soon as well.
John, love the show. Whenever I need to figure something out about the Bears or anything up there, I always tune into you, my friend. It's great stuff.
Great talk there with Jake Crane. That'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Jake Crane himself and all of you for tuning into today's program. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports, Facebook, John Zagluel. If you want to watch more of this show, head on over to SportsTalkChicago.com. So long, everyone.
No! No! Never the turn off!